Today is Wednesday, April 3rd. We're talking about the response to the attack on aid workers in Gaza and how it could impact future humanitarian aid in the region. Also, the first state to decriminalize minor drug possession has now decided to recriminalize it. We'll tell you why. And severe storms left a trail of damage behind. Where they're headed next. Plus, saying goodbye to an iconic hotel and casino that's been part of Vegas culture for decades. How Americans are lightening the workload on Fridays. And which celebrities are on the Forbes billionaires list for the first time. Those stories and even more news to know in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, it looks like the humanitarian crisis in Gaza could be getting even worse. This week, charities announced they are suspending operations in the territory. It comes in the aftermath of an attack against a convoy of international aid workers. Remember, at least 7 people from the nonprofit World Central Kitchen were killed in the attack. And since then, World Central Kitchen and several other charitable organizations said it would no longer be feasible to deliver aid to Palestinians on the brink of starvation. The convoy that came under attack included 3 armored cars. They were apparently all clearly marked on the roof and sides with WCK's logo and were traveling along a route that was pre-approved and coordinated with Israel's military. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu apologized for the attack yesterday that he called an unintentional hit. And Israel's defense minister launched an investigation. But the White House still said it was outraged by the strike, noting that it wasn't the first, that more than 200 aid workers have been confirmed killed in Gaza so far, making it one of the worst conflicts for aid workers in recent history. Several other allies also condemned the attack and called for accountability. Getting assistance into Gaza is already extremely difficult because of damaged roads, a lack of fuel, and what aid agencies have described as unnecessary bureaucratic hurdles. The U.S. and other countries had been trying to set up the sea passage from Cyprus to get around those difficulties, but now even that could be in jeopardy since World Central Kitchen was supposed to be a big part of it. So, to be continued. Well, sadly, anti-Muslim and anti-Palestinian incidents have hit an all-time high here in the U.S. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, also known as CARE, released new data this week, and it shows more than 8,000 instances of discrimination and attacks last year. That's a 56% jump from the year before, and the highest since CARE started records nearly 3 decades ago. The advocacy group blames rising Islamophobia and bias that's increased in the face of the war in Gaza. Human rights advocates have similarly reported a global rise in anti-Muslim and anti-Palestinian incidents, as well as anti-Semitism, since the conflict began. This morning, Taiwan was struck by its strongest earthquake in 25 years. The 7.4 magnitude quake shook the island's east coast, brought down several buildings, triggered landslides, killed at least 4 people, and hurt dozens more. Those numbers are likely to rise, since people are reportedly trapped in collapsed buildings. And several strong aftershocks have followed. More are expected to keep going through the end of this week. Military personnel were dispatched to help with disaster relief. Rail services were suspended nationwide, and several workplaces and schools decided to close. The world's biggest maker of advanced semiconductors was one of them. TSMC evacuated some of its factories and is assessing possible damage. Even a short shutdown could end up costing millions of dollars. Well, people across several states here in the U.S. are now dealing with the aftermath of severe weather. And the threat is not over yet. A major storm system slammed parts of the central and eastern U.S. yesterday, destroying homes, downing trees and power lines, and causing widespread power outages. Some of the hardest hit states included Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Several areas are still in a search and rescue phase and won't get the full scope of damages until the sun comes up this morning. Meanwhile, there's still a risk of severe thunderstorms today and tomorrow throughout the mid-Atlantic and parts of the southeast. The National Weather Service is warning of frequent lightning, strong winds, hail, and even a few more tornadoes. Meanwhile, people in upstate New York and New England are expected to see heavy snow and powerful winds starting today and lasting through Friday. It's the end of an era in Las Vegas. The iconic Tropicana Resort has closed its doors for good. When the Tropicana opened in 1957, it was the most expensive and lavish casino on the Strip. It hosted stars like Elizabeth Taylor, Debbie Reynolds, Frank Sinatra, and Sammy Davis Jr. And it was the home to the city's longest-running show, which was a cabaret featuring iconic feathered showgirls. Behind the scenes, it notoriously had ties to the mob, largely through mobster Frank Costello. Over the years, the Tropicana was also featured in a lot of movies and TV shows. It was featured in Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas. A portion of The Godfather was filmed at the Tropicana. And in Diamonds Are Forever, James Bond stays there. Though it's fallen out of fashion in recent years, as mega resorts like the Wynn and Bellagio have grown more popular. Demolition is scheduled for October to make room for a $1.5 billion MLB stadium. It's expected to be the home of the Oakland A's starting in 2028. Still ahead, why Oregon is changing a first-of-its-kind drug law, what top musicians are saying about AI, new data about working on Fridays, and more. But first, thanks to our sponsor, Hiya Health. So as most parents know, daily routines can be key for a happy home. And one of the routines that we've incorporated into our mornings is giving my toddler Hiya vitamins. It comes in this really cute bottle he got to decorate with stickers. And most of all, he loves the taste. He always gives a little mmm noise when he pops his vitamin in his mouth. And yet, there's no sugar in there and no yucky gummy junk. Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, as well as 15 essential vitamins and minerals like vitamins D and C, B12, zinc, folate, and many others. It's specifically designed for kids 2 and up. Hiya is non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and everything else you can imagine. Basically, my toddler loves Hiya vitamins, and I love knowing my toddler is getting the nutrients he needs. And we're all happy. Of course, I want you and your kids to be happy too, so we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you need to go to HiyaHealth.com/newsworthy. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth, HiyaHealth.com/newsworthy to get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, now back to the news. The U.S. has finalized a new rule that's supposed to make railroads safer. It requires the nation's largest freight railroads to always have 2 crew members per train. That's typically the case already, since most trains will have an engineer and conductor. But it's never really been a rule until now. And rail companies have talked about reducing crews to 1 person as a way to cut costs. The trade group that represents the major freight railroads has long been against this 2-person crew rule, saying the federal government has not given enough evidence that crew size is actually connected to safety. Of course, rail regulation has come into the spotlight ever since the derailment in East Palestine, Ohio last year, even though that train did have a 3-person crew. Some essential ships are now finally able to get around the wreckage from the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. In the last couple of days, crews were able to open up 2 temporary channels. And with that, some traffic has already been able to get in and out of the port of Baltimore. Granted, the new lanes can only accommodate a fraction of what would typically pass through one of the country's busiest commercial shipping hubs. So work is happening to open up a 3rd channel that will allow even larger vessels to pass through, restoring more commercial activity. It's still not clear when the main shipping channel will be able to open back up, since as of this morning, at least, officials don't have a timeline for when the heavy bridge debris will be cleared out. Officials say it will likely take weeks and even longer for shipping to reach normal levels. The first state to decriminalize minor drug possession has now decided to re-criminalize it. It was 3 years ago when Oregon voters backed a measure to make the possession of small amounts of illicit drugs a non-criminal violation, similar to a traffic ticket. And in the years since, the Drug Policy Alliance says the measure has prevented the arrests of thousands of people. But the problem is, Oregon has also seen an uptick in homelessness, homicides, and overdose deaths. So the state's governor signed a new law that reverses the previous one. Starting this fall, keeping drugs like heroin or meth will be a misdemeanor in Oregon, punishable by up to 6 months in prison. Still, police won't have to send someone to jail. They also have the option to give offenders the chance to pursue treatment first. The new law also says police can seize the drugs and crack down on people using them in parks and on sidewalks. Separately, the governor also signed a bill that allocates hundreds of millions of dollars for behavioral health and education programs, including more access to substance abuse treatment and prevention education. Hundreds of musicians, including some top big names, are taking a strong position to advocate for artistry in the era of artificial intelligence. They signed onto an open letter to AI developers, tech firms, and digital platforms. Just some of the names featured on this letter include Stevie Wonder, Billie Eilish, Katy Perry, Smokey Robinson, John Bon Jovi, Pearl Jam, Sheryl Crow, and Miranda Lambert. It acknowledges that AI can create some new creative possibilities, but also talks about potential dangers. It says AI steals professional artists' voices and likeness, violates creators' rights, and so on. The musicians cited an example, saying tech companies are using pre-existing work to train AI models without permissions in what they say is an attempt to replace artists and take away their royalties. Now they want tech companies, platforms, and digital music services to promise not to develop or deploy any AI music-generated content or tools that undermine or replace human artistry. So far, they haven't gotten a response. There are more billionaires now than ever before, including some of the most popular celebrities in the world. Forbes put out its billionaires list for 2024, listing the nearly 2,800 people around the globe who are now part of the so-called Three Comma Club. This year, some of the newest members are pop star Taylor Swift, basketball legend Magic Johnson, ChatGPT creator Sam Altman, and fashion designer Christian Louboutin. Other celebrities reappearing on this year's list include directors George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, media mogul Oprah Winfrey, hip-hop businessman Jay-Z, reality star and entrepreneur Kim Kardashian, and many more. The wealthiest person on the Forbes list is luxury goods titan Bernard Arnault, followed by the owner of Tesla and X, Elon Musk. Amazon owner Jeff Bezos comes in third. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is brought to you by Lumi. Whether you hope to get outside and get active this spring, or you just have a lot going on, you're going to want a deodorant that can keep up with you and doesn't just mask odor with fragrance, but actually works. Lumi is formulated with mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. And when I first started using it, I was pleasantly surprised at how effective it is, and I've used it every day since. I also love that it's paraben-free, baking soda-free, pH-balanced, so it's seriously safe to use anywhere on your body, yet it's a whole-body deodorant. And it's clinically proven to block odor all day long and control odor for up to 72 hours. And you can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents. Two of my favorites are Clean Tangerine and Cool Cucumber. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code NEWSWORTHY for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code NEWSWORTHY at Lumi, L-U-M-E, Deodorant, D-E-O-D-O-R-A-N-T.com. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. So Casual Friday seems to be extending beyond the dress code. These days, a lot of Americans are actually working less at the end of the week. The workplace analytics firm ActiveTrack found the average worker now signs off at around 4 p.m. on Fridays, an hour earlier than the average quitting time the rest of the week. And people seem to have no problem finding things to do with that extra hour. The subscription app ClassPass found Fridays were the most popular day of the week last year for scheduling wellness and beauty services. Fridays also tend to be a busy day for people running errands or taking care of medical appointments. Some companies have even decided to make Friday workload in the office a little easier by instituting new policies like meeting-free Fridays or remote Fridays. Of course, some people think we should not be working at all on Fridays. Just last month, Senator Bernie Sanders introduced the latest bill to establish a standard 4-day work week for a total of 32 hours that would pay the same as a 5-day, 40-hour work week. It is not expected to get enough bipartisan support to become law. Still, expect this debate to continue. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing the show if you find it valuable. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.